Just in case you stepped away from the news over the weekend, President Trump is threatening to close the U.S. southern border this week.
We'll keep it closed for a long time. I'm not playing games.
There was also this.
I've ended payments to Guatemala, to Honduras, and to El Salvador. No money goes there anymore. We were giving them $500 million. We were giving them tremendous aid. We stopped payment to Honduras, to Guatemala, and to El Salvador. We were paying them tremendous amounts of money, and we're not paying them anymore because they haven't done a thing for us.
A decision to cut off aid to three Central American countries. It's punishment, the White House says, for not stopping their citizens from leaving those countries and coming to the U.S. Shannon O'Neill's with the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington. How much aid did Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador get last year, Shannon?
So last year, they were designated to get somewhere in the range of $530 million. That is a decline from a couple of years ago when it was almost three-quarters of $1 billion, $750 million. We have seen the Trump administration each year ask for less money for this aid to the Central American nations, though we have seen a bipartisan support in the U.S. Congress to put money back there. So there is a back and forth between the administration and the Congress to support these countries that we've seen for the last couple of years, culminating in the decision of Trump and the administration this last week.
So that's over half $1 billion. Where does that money go?
That money is split fairly evenly between the three Central American nations, between Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And it goes to all kinds of programs to address the root causes of migration from these countries. It goes to programs to counter drug trafficking. It goes to programs to strengthen the police, to bring safety to the streets. It goes to all sorts of small programs to help economic growth, to help seed microfinance for entrepreneurs, for farmers. So it's a combination of all sorts of programs to really support Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvadoran society and make it better for the people so that they can stay there and don't think about leaving their countries and heading to the United States.
I mean, it sounds like where this money is headed is pretty comprehensive. What's been the impact of that aid? Because we're talking $530 million, and that's actually a drop. I don't know. Is it working?
Well, this is a lot less than we spend in many other places. And today we spend over $20 billion on law enforcement at the border. So $20 billion at the border to stop these individuals coming up versus $500 million back in their country to try to make the situation better so that they don't leave in the first place. So it's a small amount overall that we're spending. But I do think it is having effects on the ground. It is keeping hundreds, thousands of people still there because it gives them an opportunity and hope in the places that they are.
How do we know that it is keeping all these people on the ground?
So when the U.S. government spends millions of dollars on foreign assistance or on other types of programs, they often do evaluations. They look to see what happens to the people that get involved in these programs. They look to see what happens to the crops that they support. We also see a lot of these nonprofit organizations, much of this money does not go to the governments of El Salvador, Honduras, or Guatemala. It goes to NGOs. It goes to nonprofits. It goes to community organizations, not to the governments. And those organizations report back what happens. They look at the communities that they're serving and the movement of people. So we do have some evidence that when these funds are invested in a local level, fewer people leave the communities where these funds go in, where these programs are started up, than, say, the neighborhood next door that doesn't receive these types of investments.
So are you saying that if Trump really wants to punish these governments in the Northern Triangle, he won't be successful because so much of this money does not actually go to governments, it goes to smaller NGOs?
But he won't be taking money from the governments as much. He'll be taking more money from smaller NGOs. What these countries will have to deal with is an increased economic desperation, perhaps increasing level of violence, because you won't have some of the programs that were helping tamper down these effects in society.
The president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez, met with the White House National Security Advisor John Bolton last week, and Hernandez said Honduras has a solid bilateral relationship with the U.S. What have you heard from the Northern Triangle countries? Is this news of aid getting cut off from Washington a shock to them?
This is a great shock because just last week, these governments signed a cooperation agreement, a security cooperation agreement with the Department of Homeland Security. So just as they're signing agreements to deepen the security ties between the United States and these nations, the president decides to cut off all aid to these governments. And so far, their reaction has been quite muted.
It has been announced now, but it is unclear if the spigot of aid has actually immediately been turned off. I know Trump announced something like this last October. What happened then when he threatened to cut off U.S. aid? Did he actually follow through?
So back last October, he didn't follow through. He threatened on Twitter and talked about it, but never followed through. And there is a challenge here in that money that is both legislated by Congress, but also appropriated by Congress. Congress has approved the spending, and in between the balance of powers in the United States, the executive branch needs to go spend that money. Now, Trump may have some leeway in how that money has spent, but he does need to go forward, at least with the money that's already been appropriated, and make some sort of effort to spend it in these countries.
So it is possible, you're saying, that he may be saying, we're going to cut off this money, but it might not actually happen.
It's not the first time we've seen a tweet go out and set policy that never actually becomes a reality.
You've probably also seen this thing that Trump has been saying, that Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador take their criminals, put them into caravans, and then send them to the U.S.
In many cases, they put their worst people in the caravan. They're not going to put their best in. They get rid of their problems, and they march up here.
We don't really know where that idea comes from. It sounds conspiratorial. Do you know where that story comes from?
That sounds very conspiratorial to me. And in fact, most of these caravans have nothing to do with the governments. These are individuals, these are families, these are communities making decisions to leave their country for the circumstances of their life, for the challenges they face. But the governments of these countries are not pushing their individuals to leave. And their citizenship laws say that they can't stop these people from leaving. Just like an American, you can't stop an American from traveling abroad. Well, you can't stop a Guatemalan or a Honduran from leaving their country as well. And so that is the dilemma that these governments face. They're not pushing their citizens out actively. They're not forming these caravans. These are individual decisions made privately by citizens of these countries.
Shannon O'Neill with the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
My pleasure.